Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The stars are going to be the stars. And here's the big one.
Freddie Freeman coming through again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bueller got him swinging.
World champs, how's that sound, Dave?
Oh, my world champion.
Today's guests, Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, quarterback consultant Jordan Palmer, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn. And we also appreciate anybody who listens whenever they darn well please through our podcast network, which is just churning out all the content. The Jim Jackson Show later today, no contest wrestling on Wednesdays, and we've got Overreaction Monday on Mondays, and What the Football with Susie and Amy on Tuesdays. Our 3 hours every single day wherever you get your podcasts, our YouTube channel as well. Happy Halloween to one and all. I am dressed as an exhausted father of three today, which is, you know, me every day. My guys, though, are coming correct. Chris Brockman, who are you today with your cowboy studded hat right there? What is that?
I'm Ed Harris in Westworld, the man in black.
Ah, Ed Harris in Westworld.
The man in black.
That's a very specific costume. I think I know who you are, Jason Feller, but why don't you tell everybody who you are, Jason?
Hey, Rich, I'm Gene Frankel. I'm famous for the cowbell.
and for those who may not have seen that, you are, Jason, you're wearing a shirt very similar to what Gene Frankel wore in the cowbell sketch on SNL. That's a little short, so your stomach is out there too.
It's a little cold.
Okay, very good. And TJ Jefferson. TJ, who are you today, TJ?
I'm Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, wow, they can't take away my dignity.
What's the can that you have there in front of you?
Oh, this is some activator from my little Soul Glow.
It's Soul Glow.
Hold on a second. Let me.
Very good. Okay.
Activator.
Very good. And again,
sexual chocolate.
I'm dressed as an overtired father of three today. That's a mic drop. Very good. Okay. Well, that, by the way, that move looked very Dodgers-like right there. He did the Dodgers move that I'm going to see in my nightmares.
Did Randy Watson.
That's true. Maybe they did. And by the way, let's start the show with a hearty congratulations to all Los Angeles Dodger fans that have been waiting for this moment for some time. And there are many out there who put an asterisk next to their 2020 title because it was during the COVID year. I do not. I do not put an asterisk there. As a matter of fact, if you're winning under the craziest circumstances of a pandemic, doesn't matter if there's no fans, it doesn't matter if it's a shortened season, it doesn't matter at all. You won under the construct everybody else was playing in. I know there's a lot of pushback on that, and people talk about asterisks. So if you are one of those, first time since 1988, and that is a massively long wait for these Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the most deep and resilient teams that you can see win it all. And I understand it's tough to call a team that wears the patch of the Guggenheims on their shoulder and has got Magic Johnson there as a part owner of the team that is just swimming in cash and is making as many free agent moves as they darn well please. And they are just a gritty team that is deep and keeps coming at you. And I'll be straight up. Last night's a perfect example where they hadn't gotten a hit in nine innings against the Yankees. They didn't get a hit until after the fifth inning in the game four loss for them in the Bronx. And Gerrit Cole comes out and doesn't give up a hit in the first four innings of that game. And the Yankees put five on the board. And, you know, they bust the door down when the Yankees just start stepping all over their you-know-whats and making mistakes, and you can't make mistakes against a championship contender like the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, man, you got a smash cut back to almost a year ago in December when they shocked the world by getting Shohei Ohtani. Not shocking them by getting Shohei, but the manner in which they got Shohei Ohtani to basically say, to avoid any luxury tax implications, he's just gonna defer a gajillion dollars till he's retired and basically cost the Dodgers on their current salary structure basically what a middle infielder who's a jack of all trades, one of those utility guys might cost you. And Ohtani had his first 48 hours as a Dodger player consumed by the insanity brought on his life by his translator. Don't forget, that's how this Dodger season began overseas.
Yeah.
With everybody wondering if Ohtani was a cheater and how's this going to work with this team? And we all found out his translator is going to prison. And Ohtani was still Shohei Ohtani that we thought he was. And then he goes and steals 50 bases and hits 50 home runs in the regular season for a Dodger team that rode a lot of his arm and let, you know, I mean, his bat and his legs didn't need his arm yet.
That's
get to that in a second. And in this World Series, he goes 2-for-19. And I'll be honest with you, man, you take a look at this team and it reminds me a little bit about last year's Kansas City Chiefs in the fact that by the end of the day, as they're going to have their parade, you sit back and wonder, man, this is the time when they could have gotten got. You might have missed your shot of getting them right now because with next year's team, Tyler Glasnow is going to be back in the starting rotation and Shohei Ohtani is going to be in the starting rotation. And they might not need a bullpen game to get through, by the way. And a guy who, you know, just absolutely deserved the MVP of this World Series because after Ohtani, you know, you get him 2-for-19, then you've got Mookie Betts, who all he does is collect championship rings. That's all he does. And then after him, you got, I got to be honest, you got to call it when you see it. By the end of the day, maybe, because you got to figure the Dodgers are going to play some more World Series soon. One of the clutchest hitters in the history of the World Series.
in Freddie Freeman. Guy had 12 RBIs. That's a record. He had a home run last night in the clincher. He didn't hit a home run for the first time in 7 World Series games. Oh, but he was a factor with a huge 2-run base hit.
Yep.
That really put wind in the Dodgers' sails as the Yankees were basically allowing them to board the sailboat and then giving them a hurricane wind of their own to the wind at the backs of the Dodgers. He is just absolutely spectacular. And by the way, for a guy with a gimpy ankle, pretty damn fast. Right. Beating out double play ground balls, yeah. Going from first to third, legging out triples.
Stole a base.
I mean, come on. Yeah. He's unbelievable. He's on a Cooperstown path for sure. By the way, top 3 hitters in the lineup of the Dodgers. And then the bottom half, I mean, they are excellent. And you got to give it up to their manager, Dave Roberts, who has had sort of a Steve Young, if you will, monkey on the back, because you're no Lasorda, you're no Walter Alston for anybody back in the day. And the 2020 COVID year had the asterisk on it. And he was known as a manager who was 100% completely controlled by whoever's telling him what the analytics are going into a game. And he was going to do that come heck or high water. Mm-hmm. And all he did in this World Series was push buttons with his gut. Blake Treinen last night, perfect example, right? Where the bullpen's gassed because they had a bullpen game and their starter only goes an inning and a third. And Treinen is struggling. You could see it. Yankees are trying to get some runs on this here board. And he goes out and he keeps him in the game. And he, I don't know what he said to him, and he just slapped him on the chest.
Yeah, he kind of doubled back.
Almost like a hardball. Yeah.
He hardballed him.
Whack, whack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey. And I thought to myself, oh, this guy's coming out. He's probably faced his 19th hitter. He's probably got it in a binder or whatever. Nope. He used his gut. He used his gut and kept him in there. And that guy got the outs. And then he goes to Walker Buehler to close it. Okay. You know your guys. You know your guys. This guy coming back from arm trouble. And he wins game 3 and he closes game 5. Resilient. Deep. Champions. And Dave Roberts deserved to spike the football as these Dodgers are celebrating in Yankee Stadium. I mean, come on. Obviously, they want to be home listening to Randy Newman blasting from the loudspeakers, but in front of Dodger Nation. I don't know if you were driving around town seeing all the Dodger flags today. Obviously, with Election Day next Tuesday, I'm driving like, who are they representing? Like, who are they voting for? Oh, no, that's a Dodger flag. You know, and
fireworks were going off in my neighborhood.
Yeah, all neighborhoods. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
And they are deserving of it. Kike Hernandez and Will Smith and Teoscar Hernandez and then, you know, Muncy had a tough World Series, but he had a really good season up to the World Series. You know, Edmund, I mean, the general manager pushing buttons at the deadline.
Every move that they made to acquire guys worked out.
No
going
doubt.
Back to Teoscar Hernandez,
yes, sir,
in the offseason.
Yes, sir.
That guy was a beast.
Yes, sir. This guy deserved to spike the football, but he didn't when he was asked about all of the questions concerning his ability.
I'm going to take the high road. You know, it's hard to win a championship, regardless of, you know, what your team is like. It's hard, and there's a reason why there hasn't been a repeat champion since the Yankees did it. And so it clearly speaks to the playoff format, all that stuff. And so I'm going to be in the moment, and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this one. And I'm sure there's no asterisks on this one.
And Andrew said Shohei told him in the clubhouse, let's do this 9 more times. Do you feel the pressure of 9 more times?
I don't want to get to pressure yet. I've dealt with pressure quite a bit. I'm going to enjoy this one. But, you know, once we get to spring training, that's certainly going to be the goal, yes.
And that brings us back full circle again, because the conversation here in this studio when Ohtani signed that deal with the Dodgers, right? 10 years for Ohtani?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And so we were like saying, what's the level of success for the Dodgers for how many World Series they need to win during this Ohtani era window, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. What do we say, three?
Yeah, I think we put it about three. Yeah. You win 30% of the time. I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, that puts you in the Hall of Fame if you win 30% of your at-bats, right?
Yeah.
But I also feel like this year, didn't we say like a World Series or bust for the Dodgers? Like this had to be.
Of course.
They had to win this year.
Right. Because we just didn't know when Ohtani arrived where he would bat. Like we just didn't know where Dave Roberts and the staff would place him. And he wound up hitting leadoff.
Crazy.
You know, Betts missed some time. He was batting leadoff to start the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
So wound up going Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. How does that sound? And we said three, correct? That was the number?
I think that's what we put it at.
Well, that's one.
One for one.
And Glasnow's back next year, and Ohtani's going to be
Dustin May's going to be back.
May and Gavin Stone, right?
Yep.
Dude. Right?
Loaded.
I mean, and Bueller.
Bueller.
He's back.
Bueller.
He's back. Look out.
Yeah, they're going to be a problem for a while.
Look out. And congratulations. I know so many Dodger fans in this town, and I offer my hearty congratulations to them.
The whole town, Rich. I know we had a conversation a few years ago whether L.A. was a Dodger town or a Laker town. I said a Dodger town then, and I still feel that way.
I don't know. Really? I think it's a Laker town, right?
So. I think so, too, but I'm also not from
what, there. Laker town?
Yeah, Laker town.
Well, by the way, it could be neck and neck, and we're going to see a lot of those car flags flying here for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know they also feel like there's Fernando with a guiding hand with Vin Scully up there, too. I mean, it was an unbelievable season, a resilient season. I mean, that first month of the season when everyone's wondering what's up with Ohtani, that's how it started. And Dave Roberts, he just guided the whole thing. Very impressive, soup to nuts.
Yeah, and the parade is tomorrow here in L.A., and tomorrow is Fernando's birthday.
Come on, dude.
So.
There you have it.
Yeah, all kind of lined up.
Outstanding. Congratulations to Dodger fans. Now then, that took a lot out of me. How'd I do?
Well done. I mean, very well. 15 minutes. Good job.
That's a World Series champion. They deserve it.
It was really impressive.
They deserve it.
They were definitely the better team throughout the course of the year and in that series.
For sure.
You want to talk about your team?
Yes, I do. but I want to take a break first.
Okay, and just kind of cleanse.
I mean, I think I'm a
shower in the back.
I'm a
quick shower
professional.
Okay.
You know? You know what I mean? I'm
that's your costume, a lead pipe.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. And that's, thank you very much. That's the activator. Well done. This guy. All right. We'll take a break. I also have a top five list of the top five storylines of the NFL first half because we've reached that part of our sports calendar as well. Jets Texans tonight.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back here on the show, be honest with you, thought Friday night would be a because Xander's play performance that he's been rehearsing on with his high school classmates for weeks, Macbeth, is Friday night.
Whoa.
Would have been a game six. I'm sitting there wondering to myself, is the Yanks up 5-0, you know, do I do sports blackout? What do I do? Because, you know, Shakespearean plays and World Series game sixes, must-win games, don't usually mix, you know. And
well, so, we know how Macbeth ends. We don't know how game six would have ended. So you go to the game.
Right.
And then, you know, just read the cliff notes a little bit later on.
Well, I mean, is everyone familiar with Macbeth? It's been a while since
A while, vaguely.
Because, as you know, there are two different styles of Shakespearean plays. There's comedies.
Mm-hmm. Tragedies.
And there's tragedies.
Right.
There's really no gray area. You
no.
know what I mean? There was no
one
dramedy.
There's one or the other.
You know what I mean? There was no, you know, Shakespeare didn't have like a Ted Lasso. You know?
That we know of.
You know, there were Falstaffian characters who were comic relief in the serious plays. Right?
Sure, sure.
And
sure,
then there
sure.
were just comedies just straight out.
Right.
There was no dramedy. So at any rate, Macbeth falls in the tragedy bin. And game five was a laugher and then tragic.
And it took a turn.
Right. So that's what I was sitting there thinking, you know?
Well, you know, the actual Jeez. Title is The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Indeed, sir.
Hey.
Just get shortened to
Look
Macbeth.
At you. Did you Google that?
No, come on. What do you think they teach us in Jackson Heights?
Google me.
Jackson,
back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I get frequently told by friends or fans who of this program say that their favorite parts of this show is when my personal, you know, guts get spilled at this desk into a microphone, right? And
it's relatable.
Get that a lot. Okay. And kind of thought as I took Coop, my 13-year-old, to game one of the World Series on Friday night.
Cooptani.
Is it possible that I could get to see a Michigan football national championship and a Yankee World Series championship in the same calendar year? Is that entirely possible? Can that happen for me? Because the year started on January 1st with Michigan beating Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and I took my whole family there, and I thought to myself, is it possible? Because in this day and age, I know, you know, I'm equated with Jet fandom and things of that nature. I get it. But the Jets have beaten the emotion out of me. I'm like this very much close to just being over it with them. You know, like when I'm watching the Rams here in town with the kids and seeing McVay coaching it up with Stafford and Puka and Kupp and, you know, Kyron Williams is one of our favorites on the show. You know, one of my dearest friends on the planet mm-hmm. is Kara Henderson Snead.
Yeah.
Les is just a great dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting there like, yeah, kind of fun rooting for the Rams. You know? Coach is smart. They're, you know, they're not going to just do anything dumb and stupid. At any rate, the two teams that truly do affect my emotions anymore are Michigan sports, football primarily, and the New York Yankees. And this year with the Yanks was just a frequent delight, you know? When they acquired Juan Soto, it's just like, okay, you're going to put him in front of Judge. Let's see how that works. And Judge struggled for the first 30 games of the season. You're wondering how this is going to play out. And then all of a sudden, May hit all the way through to mid-June, They were awesome to watch. And then Judge had one of the best regular seasons anybody's ever had. And that's saying a lot when you're seeing Ohtani go 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in the same season. He and Soto back to back, just awesome. There was a mid-June to late July swoon, and then August hit, and they wound up having the best record in the American League. Gerrit Cole comes back. They found Luis Gil had some ability as a rookie starting pitcher. Carlos Rodon started winning baseball games. Clay Holmes removed my remaining hair off the top of my head frequently, and then Luke Weaver got the gig and started pitching lights out. They make the playoffs, and off we go into the World Series. And then Freddie Freeman's home run just absolutely wrecked the buffet at the end of that game one. Wrecked it. And Yankees didn't have another lead until they hit a grand slam of their own in game four. And in between that and leading up to the Freddie Freeman home run, the Yankees just had flaws throughout the season. They had flaws. They would just revert back to their all or nothing strikeout or home run type Yankees teams that got eliminated by Houston mostly. They just had those flaws. The bullpens had flaws. They had flaws in the field. They would make boneheaded plays in the field. A couple times, Daniel Jeremiah would text me after Soto had some of the moments in right field. He's like, he's a great hitter, Rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and oh, yeah. So in playoff baseball, more than I think any other sport, really, you know, I understand in the NBA playoffs, if you have problems making threes, or a couple years ago, Chris, your Celtics had trouble taking care of the basketball. They had turnover yep. problems, right? And that came home to roost.
Big time.
At the most important moment.
Mm-hmm.
They fix those issues. Spoiler alert.
Indeed.
You know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there are in championship absolutely. Sports, at championship levels of playoffs, the fault lines are going to get cracked open. And, you know, some of the fault lines that they had. Gleyber Torres at second base. Shohei Ohtani in the eighth inning of game one. When the Yankees have a one-run lead, Ohtani hits one off the wall. Soto doesn't field it very clean off the wall. Kind of a bobble. Throws to second. And Torres just lets the ball get past him. Ohtani gets to third with less than two outs. Dodgers cash in that opportunity. Tie the game. Go to extra innings. And Aaron Boone just makes occasional head-scratching moves. It's just like he doesn't keep Luke Weaver in the game. He didn't keep Gerrit Cole in the game in game one. And these are all obviously second-guessable moments. He puts Jake Cousins out there, who was pitching well for much of the season. He gets into trouble, and then he turns to Nestor Cortez instead of the left-hander Tim Hill, who had earned the right to play in a high and pitch in a high-leverage situation of the World Series based on his performance and based on him actually doing the work instead of going to a guy who hadn't pitched in 37 days. And then Freddie Freeman hits a home run that we're going to be talking about forever. And then the Yanks can't hit in games two and three. They finally hit in game four, and they hit in game five. Aaron Judge hits a home run on the first pitch he sees in game five. And when that happens, you're thinking, this is the Yankees' night. We are going to see the first game six in the history of a World Series forced by a team down 3-0. We are going to see that when the Yankees go up 5-0, thanks to another home run by Jazz Chisholm, who was a nice pickup by Brian Cashman at the trade deadline, playing a very nice third base for a team that needed that. And then the fifth inning hits. And it's going to be one of those moments that just lives on, just like the Freeman home run from game one. And it's Aaron Judge who drops the baseball in center field. Instead of it being a couple outs, and or one out because Gerrit Cole had just given up his first hit of the game, Now there's runners on first and second. Nobody out. And off we go. Ball gets hit to Anthony Volpe. He goes to third. And Kike Hernandez got a nice jump off of second. It is John Smoltz, who's great. By the way, he and Joe Davis, great listen. Smoltz is always on it. He's just like, well, Kike Hernandez, with the way that he was running and making those, you know, moves that don't show up at a box score, put pressure on the throw from Volpe. He dirts it.
Yep.
Chisholm is not a first baseman. He couldn't dig it. Now base is loaded.
But Cole nutted up, man.
He did.
Man,
because Gerrit Cole then gets the next two hitters, Lux and Ohtani, on strikes. And he makes a great pitch to Mookie Betts, who just squibs one to first. And I could not believe what I saw. I hate to say it because you're dealing with some very prideful guys. You're dealing with a champion in Anthony Rizzo and a Cy Young, you know, lion-hearted Cy Young in Gerrit Cole. But that was a little league play. It's like, how does Cole not cover first? And how does Rizzo not see Cole not covering first? And how is Rizzo just, I guess he didn't want to boot the ball by charging it? I mean,
it looks like it had some weird side spin.
Maybe.
And so you're trying to play back on it so you can make sure you actually field it. But Rizzo's got to charge it. Cole's got to cover first. It's day one spring training.
Right.
Like, and then Cole would just be standing there pointing.
He's just pointing.
Like,
I thought you had it, Spider.
Come on, man.
I know. How did it happen?
Crazy.
That was the game.
And again,
right there.
Like, there was a part in the championship series between the Yankees and the Indians where there was a ball hit to Mark Leiter Jr. to get out of the inning, and he flipped it to Rizzo, who let it go through his legs. It was another, like, moment where it's just like, are we in Little League or what? Yeah. And I know that sounds, you know, insulting, but it is just a head scratcher. That plates the first run instead of being 5-0, getting out of the inning.
Now
5-1 and Freeman's up, and right on cue.
You knew he was getting a hit.
And he
delivered.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Again, 5-3. And then they eventually tie it. And then later on in the game, and I know the Yankees did take the lead 6-5, but having a catcher interference on Austin Wells, and that was Ohtani's bat hit his glove. And then later on, Luke Weaver, who was given a bases loaded, no out situation that John Smoltz called a hornet's nest. He'd be lucky to get out with just one run given up. He gave up two sacrifice flies as the Dodgers took the lead. He threw over to first base three times. That's called three disengagements in the now pitch clock era of baseball.
Yep.
That's technically a balk. The Yankees basically had the bingo card of mistakes last night. Three errors that fail to cover first, or the failure of Rizzo to charge the ball and beat Mookie to the bag. Catches interference, a balk, the five earned runs. I mean, the old axiom, as you know, been around for a while.
Seen a lot of things.
It's that old baseball axiom. Never give your championship opponent six outs.
Right.
And the Yankees did. They gave the Dodgers an extra inning of baseball last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, again, you know, second guess. The one that I'm seeing, too, is why do you not go to Luke Weaver for a six-out save? Bring him in with the bases empty. Go ahead and do that. But I'm sure Aaron Boone didn't think Tommy Canley would just show up and walk people. And
I thought Cole was going to get taken out in the fifth or at least be done after the fifth. Credit to him, man. He came out, pitched the sixth, pitched the seventh.
I was glad to see that.
That dude's a beast.
You can't take the ball out of your beast's hands like they did in the first inning. In the first game, at any rate.
Yeah.
A lot of this and that's ifs and buts, candies and nuts. This was Aaron Boone afterwards.
I mean, I'm heartbroken. Um, Yeah, I mean, it's doesn't take away my pride of what that room means to me and what that group forged this year and what we've been through to get here. But I'm heartbroken for those guys that pour so much into this. You know, the ending is cruel. You know, it always is. You know, I haven't had that feeling of being celebrating and going home. And, you know, like many of the guys in there, you know, I'm 51. You know, I poured my life into that. So, you know, you're chasing that. And when you get that close, you know, it's heartbreaking.
Right with you. I'm right in that boat, too. You know, that was one of those moments as a dad last night. Like, Zan came in to give me a hug. He asked if I was crying. And I'm like, no, I'm not crying. They have not seen A League of Their Own yet, so I couldn't give them that line. I think you're about. So Coop took it. Coop took it well, you know.
Yeah.
But he saw the writing on the wall. I mean,
yeah. Coop knows more baseball than all of us. So he...
do you put it on anybody? Do you blame Judge? Do you blame Cole? Do you blame Boone? Like, who are you pointing a finger at?
I'm not pointing. I can't point a finger. It was a collective just letdown. I mean, Stanton played the best baseball he's played as a Yankee. Juan Soto is unreal. And in terms of that, like, that's now what's next. I'd rather learn what's next as to, like, point a finger. I mean, they made the World Series. They finally broke that 15-year-long wait of making the World Series. I know it's about banners, not making it. But look at the other team. So you got to keep your stars and get more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got the money to do it, okay? You've got the money to do it. And first order of business is just you sign Juan Soto. I mean, there's no tomorrow when it comes to that. And Juan Soto, after last night's game, was asked about his free agency, and he basically said, you know, he's open for business.
Open.
Hit it.
I'm really happy with the city, with the team, how these guys do. But at the end of the day, we will see. We're going to look at every situation, every offer that we get, and take the decision from there.
Well, you expect the Mets to come help you?
I mean, I don't know what's the teams that want to come after me, but definitely I'll be open to this and every single team. I don't have any doors closed or anything like that. So are we going to be available for all 30 teams?
So I said, just adopt him. It'll be cheaper. Just make him a Steinbrenner. That's the end of it. And I know you as a Met fan, TJ, you're already saying come over there. And anybody that's got $600 million they want to spend on a baseball player,
wow,
you know, over a 10-year period or whatever, that you know, they will be interested, and I don't blame him for saying that, because I will, you know, he just turned 26.
Yeah, he's got a long time.
Just turned 26, you know.
Rich, by the way, with the money that Ohtani is, the Dodgers are saving with Ohtani, is there any chance?
I mean,
we'll take him.
Well, honestly,
I know Passage kind of shut that down, but like, why wouldn't they? At least
they're not paying him till 20.
Talk to him.
But that's
40.
They just showed it to you. I mean, the last few years, you saw the formula of World Series winners was, you know, get young, get a 100-mile-an-hour throwers coming out of the bullpen, get hot. If you're the Rangers, right, Diamondbacks, just take a look at last year's World Series. This one just showed you. Get three Hall of Fame hitters at the top and get some stone-cold, you know, hitters below it. Mm-hmm. And timely pitching and a manager who can push the right buttons, and you got yourself a World Series, obviously.
That's easier said than done.
I know it's easier said than done. And so if I'm the Yankees, I sign Soto, and then I channel my inner George Sr., George M. Steinbrenner III. And again, it's not my money, but they've got it. They've got it.
And you're not that far off, right?
No. And then I get your first baseman.
That's what I'm afraid of, to be honest.
Then I get your first baseman.
I've been fearing that all year.
I tell the polar bear,
yep,
come over to the Bronx.
Short porch.
And that's what you do. Because Rizzo didn't homer since June. I don't think he's going to be around any longer. They've got clearly a catcher who struggled hitting towards the end of the season, who's really good in Austin Wells, and he's young. They've got the Martian, who I think should spend the next 3 months catching fly balls.
Learning how to play outfield.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. They got Chisholm at third. They got Volpe at short. Yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do with Gleyber Torres, who's also a free agent.
Right.
But if he's got to walk, then find yourself your own Gavin Lux. You know, you got Judge in center. You got Stanton as your DH. You got Cole. And you got Rodon. And maybe you get a couple of some pitchers more healthy. And you go to work. But you get Pete Alonso. Go and do that. Met fans want Soto. Guess what? We're going to keep Soto. And we're going to take the polar bear from you.
Nah, baby.
And that's the way the Yankees. So then you have your leadoff hitter. If it is Torres, if he sticks around. If it's not, we'll figure out something else. Maybe it's Jazz Chisholm. Soto, Judge, polar bear, Stanton. How does that sound, Dodgers?
So what's that? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That sounds awful to me.
I know Luke Weaver's a free agent. Sign him. And I don't know. Do you send Clay Holmes? Like, get him, you know, in the Aaron Rodgers plan. Send him on a darkness retreat. Yeah. Figure that stuff out, because he's put me in darkness enough. But he has some ability. It's just maddening. That's the whole thing, is the Yankees had some maddening problems that everything else couldn't overcome. I'm sure Dodger fans will point out some things that made them mad throughout the season, but they overcame them. And that's my opinion of the World Series. How about us talking baseball for 40 minutes? We love it.
We love it. I mean, I think we're probably three of the biggest fans in sports media, the three of us.
Well, don't forget Gene Frankel over here. He's playing. He brings the cowbell a little bit.
Yeah. Would you say did you feel sick? Like, did it give you a fever?
I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
All right, give it to me. Yeah, I do have a fever. I do have a fever, Gene. Very good.
Well done.
Is that really a cowbell? Wait, it doesn't sound like a cowbell. That sounds like you're pounding a pan. What
does
that
come with the costume?
Yeah, I got one more for you here.
Rich Eisen.
Then what's more cowbell? We should probably give him more cowbell.
Thank you. All right.
The Bruce Dickinson.
Man, when we have an audio guy locked in, our show is second to none.
When one of them spends time banking. Jeez. Half the time,
right.
Whatever he's doing,
whatever. Everything ready.
Okay, very good. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. We'll talk. Whatever you guys want to talk about. I've got a top five list of the biggest storylines of the season so far in the NFL. Oh, and Salty Tua is back.
Oh.
Hey everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light? light fixed or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. And another thing.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
Another one.
Although, did you see the Yankees gave the tickets of the two schmegegs to
I did see that.
What, whose dad has cancer or something like that?
Yeah.
Well done.
Although they refunded their money, which I wish they wouldn't have done.
What, the Yankees did that?
Yeah.
Whatever. By the way, I'd love to just put that past. I just don't like giving those guys 15 minutes of fame.
No, I didn't like how they were celebrated yesterday. ESPN wrote an article. They were on Barstool all day yesterday. I really dislike that.
Well, because, you know, we in an era where we remember Steve Bartman and how what he did accidentally destroyed his life. And now you got these two guys purposely planning on doing something like that. They're going to end up millionaires with their own podcast because of this. You know how things work.
They're being celebrated.
World.
I really didn't. You know? Well, I mean,
the difference between Bartman and this guy, these two dudes, and Jeffrey Mayer is that Jeffrey Mayer and these two dudes helped the Yankees in the mind's eye of the crazy fans, right?
Right.
Jeter got a home run when he didn't deserve it against the Orioles. Although the replays kind of show that that was on the fence a little bit.
Stop it. Nice.
Richie Garcia was standing right there, right? And long story short is Bartman
okay.
Hindered the Cubs' ability. Everybody forgets. Everyone forgets what Alex Gonzalez let the double leg ground.
He booted it the next play. First off, Moises Alou was never catching that ball. Everyone needs to get that out of their
mind. Right, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
By the way,
his reaction was...
Yeah. I was in the studio when I heard John Miller on ESPN Radio call the Derek Jeter home run. You're never going to expect a kid reaching over the fence and grabbing it. He nailed the call. Unbelievable. Back on the Rich Eisen show. All right, let's just talk about... I'm just going to get it all off my chest a little bit here, even though I just said, you know, there's a little bit left to me about the JETS, right? Tonight's the night. This is it. Because, honestly, we don't talk about 2-6 teams here very much. We just don't. Okay? I mean, we did this week because Jameis Winston made the Browns 2-6, and Winston's got a certain je ne sais quoi that I think everybody kind of likes, you know?
Yeah. Literally the opposite of Rodgers. They couldn't be more different.
Right. And so the Giants, we talked about them at 2-6. I'm going to be talking about them a lot. Hopefully, you know, knocking on wood, all due respect to Washington Commanders fans at 3-6 when we see them on NFL Network against the Panthers in a couple of weeks in Munich, Germany. And we're going as a show, by the way.
Yep.
BMW and Roku sending us. It's pretty cool.
Love it.
That'll be next week. Actually, 1 week from today. It'll be a Thursday night in Munich, Germany show for us.
Let's go.
Right? We'll be there. I'm looking forward to all hanging with you guys, having a pretzel and a beer.
Should Randy Watson come?
And some schnitzel.
Please bring the Randy Watson.
Should Randy Watson?
Why not?
Is he going to get through customs? That's the question.
So, this is it. 2-7 is all she wrote. That thing's toast. At 2-7. Because you need to win
out.
You'd have to win out. Like, RELAX isn't going to cut it. And, hey, Thomas Morstead told me about cayenne pepper, and I feel better about it. Or, you know, Davante Adams gave a great speech. The problem is, though, is the Texans are outstanding. And it's a short week for them, and Stephon Diggs is out, and Nico Collins isn't back, and who knows who's catching the football other than, or any at all, because Tank Dell hasn't had a good season at all, and anybody who has him in fantasy knows this.
Yep.
Before I got looks of concern from Coop over the Yankees over the last week plus, or last week, over the World Series, the number one question I keep getting from him on Sundays is like, Dad, where's Tank Dell?
I'm asking the same thing, Coop.
Well, if he doesn't eat tonight, I don't know if he ever will.
Right.
And, you know, they got John Mechie and Bobby Trees, Robert Woods, yeah, Bobby and whatever. Trees. I mean, yeah, Joe Mixon's coming for you.
Xavier Hutchinson.
So they're going to come with a receiving core that basically C.J. Stroud is like, if you're open, I'm throwing it. Like,
I don't care who you are.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a dangerous type of quarterback. And he hasn't had a great month either.
Yep.
So it's time. Hassan Reddick making his home debut. It's time. This is it. This is the rubber meeting the road. Because, again, 2-7 gives you 8 more games, and you need to win them. Because you've already lost to Denver. You've already lost to Pittsburgh. And if they're not winning their divisions, they're going to beat you out for a wild card spot. And then, by the way, they're at Arizona next week. And when the schedule came out and Jets fans were looking at it and we were looking at it, we're like, okay, so your winnable game is weeks 2 and 3 against New England and then week 8 against New England and certainly week 4 against Denver. Jets should be 3-1. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Denver and haven't won after beating Tennessee and New England since. And then guess what? Week 10 is at Arizona. That, folks, is a losable game. And then a Sunday night at home. This is the second out of the next 3 weeks. 2 out of the next 3 weeks, you're seeing Indianapolis on Sunday night. And you're seeing the Jets in a nationally televised game as well. Could you imagine the Jets are 2-8 going into that game against Indianapolis? I'll tell you what.
Unfortunately, you can't.
They better be 4-6. Yeah. They've got to win, and they got to win now, and they have the people to do it. I know Aaron Rodgers is saying we've got the ability to score 30 points in a game because that's Davante Adams, that's Garrett Wilson, that's Breece Hall. They got to show it. You got to show it. It's time to do it, and the time is tonight. Problem is, again, Texans are pretty good, and yeah. They just beat Indianapolis, but I don't think they got a good taste in their mouth off of that one. You know? They're 6-2. They've got to make sure they don't have to go to Buffalo at the end of the day, right? Correct?
Correct.
They're going to make sure of that. They're 6-2. They got to make sure they're not visiting Pittsburgh at the end of the day or Baltimore at the end of the day. Winning games in conference are very important, certainly if you also have designs on running down the Chiefs at some point, which is a tall order, but one that's not impossible, but one that would be made less possible with a loss tonight against a Jets team that is reeling and games against Detroit and Dallas coming up after that. And then they've got 2 division games before a week 14 bye, and then a visit from Miami, which is also not playing well at all. And then there's that at Kansas City game home for Baltimore. Big games there. That's the Saturday before Christmas, Wednesday. Again, Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston, and Pittsburgh have that Saturday, Wednesday on their schedule. Short week in week 16, very short week in week 17. So that's what's at stake tonight on Prime Video.
I mean, that schedule looks 12-5, 13-4 at the worst.
Not if you drop one to a Jets team that's ready to ripe for the plucking right now.
Take care of business tonight, and you're on a great path to 12-13 wins.
All you got to do is come out, have the Jets go 3-and-out a couple times, or turn them over defensively, put some on the board, and it will get ugly in MetLife. Fast. Or the Jets can just basically say, we've all had the cayenne pepper, and we all heard Davante Adams' paint-peeling speech, and what happened in New England last week is not going to happen again. And tonight, on a short week, at home, sirens blaring, we're going to put up 30 on the Texans, which, by the way, you know who beat Houston in a surprise in MetLife last year? Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
If Zach can do it, maybe Aaron Rodgers and these Jets can, because it's time. Because if they don't, this thing's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Talk about a Halloween night trick or treat. That's at stake. Xavier Worthy's about to join us from the Chiefs.
Honestly, you take the ball. You win the toss, take the ball, come down and score. 7-0, boom.
If you're the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the start you want.
I don't know. I would put your defense. If they win the toss, I'd put my defense out there first. I am always a defer guy. I'm a defer guy.
Yeah, but then now you risk being down 7-0.
Or they're banged up in the receiving core, and I've got an all-pro corner, and I got an all-pro lineman in the middle of a defense.
All-pro corner isn't playing like
that. And I've got an all-pro guy in the middle of my defense that now has Will McDonald there and Hassan Reddick there. And we got the fans going nuts.
Defense hasn't looked great.
Because we just started. I would put my defense out there and say, hey, C.J. Stroud, we've seen the way the NFC North has treated you. We've got the same personnel. We're coming in your direction. And we are going to be right up the middle, just like everybody else has. And you've had problems doing that. And we can do it, too. And you are going to have a long-ass night on a short week. Good luck to you, Joe Mixon, because we're stopping a run on the way to the pass. And good luck to you guys without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. And then you get Aaron Rodgers out there and put up 30. I mean, I'm not mincing any words here. This is what has to happen tonight. Otherwise, you're 2-7. Xavier Worthy, who we haven't spoken to since after his record-setting combine, coming up.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do, like, artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.